Praise the Lord. We are continuing our study on the book of James, and today we are going to focus on James chapter 1 verses 2 to 12, and the title is When Troubles Won't Go Away. When Troubles Won't Go Away. In the last lesson, as we understood, James is addressing the Jewish Christians who were scattered due to persecution. They were actually bruised due to the adversity. They were hunted under the persecution that was initiated by the Roman Emperor Claudius. They had been driven from their homes and their homeland, and they were constantly they had to face hostility, like by Gentiles who hated them because they were Jews, and also by their fellow Jews who hated them because they were Christians. So in all ways, these believers, they were facing troubles as they were scattered away from Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the region. And so James is specifically writing this letter to these Jewish believers, to the 12 tribes who are scattered in different parts of their known world. And these were the people who were kind of bruised by the adversity that they were facing. As we understand about adversity, there is one thought in this lesson that I would like to emphasize, is that that our life has troubles, and these troubles don't go away. When we read the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 1, Job has made a statement like this: man is short-lived and is full of turmoil or trouble. The life of a person is many times confronted with troubles that come without warning. And even David has spoken in Psalms 34 verse 19, when he mentioned that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So there are many afflictions even for the righteous people that they have to face, but with God on our side, He will deliver us from all these afflictions. When we understand about the life of Paul, who holds such a great position in the New Testament, among the New Testament books and among the New Testament people after Jesus Christ, when he writes his second letter to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul is explaining about his troubles with these words: we are afflicted in every way, perplexed, we are persecuted, we are struck down. And in fact, he lists the different troubles that he had to face during his missionary journeys when he went about to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has said about Paul that if you want to trace Paul's journeys in the first century, it would be like tracking the path of a wounded deer, running from the hunter and leaving one bloody trail after another. Paul was constantly being bruised and persecuted and troubled, but still he would not give up. He would look forward, and he would forget what happened, and he would move forward because he had a great mandate from God that he had to fulfill. So, what is true about troubles? There are many ideas about why troubles come, and people ask many times this question: why do troubles come in the life of good people? This is a question that many times we try to find an answer, and hopelessly we are not able to find it. Some people think that troubles are kind of a form of punishment against God. Others say that if you reach a certain level of maturity, the troubles will disappear from your life and you will have the abundant life that Christ has promised. Others say that there is no such thing as adversity or trouble in your life. And then there are people who believe that that these troubles and trials like sickness, pain, they are all rooted in our lack of faith, and they should not exist in the life of a true believer. But when we understand and study from the book of James, there are basically two things that James is speaking out, and that we can read when we come to James chapter 1 verses 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." You know, number one, it says, James is saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word when is very important here. He does not say count it all joy if you fall into various trials. You know, the word when means that trials are going to come in everybody's life, especially when you think about what Jesus promised before he was crucified. In John's Gospel chapter 16 verse 33, Jesus said this statement: "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus promised that we will have troubles in our life, but then in the midst of the trouble, Jesus has told us to rejoice, because he has overcome the world, he has won the victory for us. Also, Peter in his writings have mentioned about trouble. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, and we read here what Peter is saying. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." Peter is warning us and saying, don't think it is something strange that you are facing trouble, because troubles come in the life of every child of God. There are various kinds of troubles that we normally face. The word various in front of trials, the word various in the Greek word that they have used is a word for polka dot, which means that we can expect our life to be spattered with trials of all sizes and shapes. Maybe it's a small or a big in nature, but troubles are inevitable. So number one, the first thing that James is telling us is that troubles are here to stay. They won't go away. They are inevitable in our lives. That's one thing we need to understand. And our troubles are only going to go away when one day we reach the presence of God, where there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears, there will be no more sorrow, and we will have a time of permanent joy and happiness in the presence of our God. But as long as we are in this world, we will have troubles. The second thing that James is telling us, from verse number 3 and verse number 4, we know that James is saying, there is a purpose for the troubles. As believers and as children of God, we need to understand that there is a certain purpose for our troubles. What he says here is, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what James is mentioning here is that we need to view the troubles kind of like a test. They have a purpose. They are not just to bother us, but God has designed troubles in our life to stretch our faith, and we should look at troubles when they come and test them and look at them as methods that God is using to help us grow in our faith. God just doesn't want us to be, He's not just watching us as we go through the pain and difficulties in our life. Actually, it says that we need to move beyond as we go through the trials, that we will gain an approval from God. You know, the testing, knowing that the testing of your faith, the word testing in verse number 3 comes from a Greek term called dokimos, which means approval. And this is can be related to the pieces of pottery that was unearthed back in the Near East by archaeologists. When any piece, any earthen pottery has gone through the furnace without cracking, it gets approved, and there is a seal of approval. The word dokimos, or the seal of approval, is found at the bottom of every piece of of pottery, showing that it has passed the test and it has been approved. So for us, the way God desires is that like the vessels of clay, God has created us in His own image to mature in the furnace of troubles and trials, and we go through all this without cracking up or without without failing in the purpose. There is a purpose. We need to hold steady and go through the trials. The initial purpose for God as He leads us through trouble is mentioned in verse number 3. It says that it produces patience, or it produces endurance. That's a better word for it. Endurance, when we go through troubles, it produces endurance in our life, which means that we get God's seal of approval or dokimos, and we have persevered, we have passed the test, and we go through it. And so through these troubles, what is happening is that God is stretching us spiritually. He is arranging certain troubles to challenge us, and we have to hold steady when troubles come and endure, because that would bring about the maturity that God wants in our lives. We have to understand that we have to maintain an attitude. In verse number 2, James is saying, my brethren, count it all joy. So when we go through troubles, number 1, we have to be positive and we have to be joyful. Consider it all joy, or count it all joy. That is what James is telling. When you go through troubles, make sure that we count it all joy. There is a psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was a prisoner of the Nazi concentration camps. And this is a statement that he made, that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, that is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. This he has written in his book called Man's Search for Meaning. So what he says here is that it is up to us to choose what kind of attitude we display at a given set of circumstances. And it is up to us that when trouble comes in our life, we have to understand that we have to maintain a positive attitude, and we have to count or consider it all joy. It has to, even though it is painful, but we rejoice because we know that God is the one still on the throne, and He is still in charge. And so we have to be positive. We have to be joyful. We have to rejoice in the Lord at all times. The second element through the trouble is that it will produce endurance or patience in our lives. Many times, people who are very impatient, who cannot stand anything, I believe that God tests them patience when they go through being a parent, when they have a small baby. I think it is partly designed to teach us patience, because we have to be patient with small children as they grow up. So those are troubles, but through it God teaches us patience. And even in our lives, we have to be patient. It says that knowing that the testing, we have to know, we have to comprehend that the tests are designed for God, by God, for good and not for evil. The heat in the furnace is designed not to crack us, but to solidify and strengthen God's character in our lives. When we go through troubles, instead of wilting under the pressure or the heat, we have to get stronger and put on the character of Christ upon us, that, so that when we come through it, when people look at us, they see the character of Christ that is emulating from our lives. And that is the second thing. The third thing is that it says, let patience or endurance have its perfect work. What it means is that allow that patience to go into perfection, that we get complete and we lack nothing. You know, we all are in a process of growth and spiritual maturity. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, we are growing up to the maturity of Jesus Christ, every one of us, day by day, year by year, we are growing to be more mature. We have to allow troubles to invade in our lives, allow it to grow us and mature us, that we will be, at the end of the troubles, we would be perfect, lacking nothing. And that is what is the end trial of that perfect results. When you look at verses 9, 10 and 11, it speaks about, James is speaking about a lowly brother and the rich, the poor and the rich. And it says that the lowly brother should glory in his exaltation, the rich in his humiliation, because end of the day, both the rich and the poor, they are like flowers in a field, that they will pass away and they won't be left over. So even though we are like grass and flowers, very soon we will fade away and we will pass away. And so all these troubles that come in our lives, they are just temporary. We need to understand, have the perspective, that is what James is telling us. Whatever happens, they are all temporary. They are not going to last forever. So the one who has nothing and the one who has everything, they have both to do the same thing. They have to let the test go on, regardless of the circumstances, because through those tests, God is going to bring us into maturity. When you come to the last chapter of James, chapter verse number 13, James 5:13, it says, if you are afflicted, you should pray. You know, that is what God expects us. Put the matter into God's hands and pray, and God is going to use us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6, it says, we need to humble before God, yield to His purposes, and He will take us to a next level. So when we face the problems, it is to produce endurance. We ought to be mature, and we should be lacking of nothing. So when we come to verse number 5, James is talking to us and saying, by the way, if you lack wisdom, you know, he's speaking of wisdom. We need wisdom to go through the troubles, because many times we respond wrongly when troubles come. So James is saying that if you lack wisdom, this is what you should do. You should ask from God, who will give it without any hesitation. But when we go, we should ask by faith. We should ask by faith. So there are two things that God wants us. What do we need? We need wisdom. How should we ask? We should ask by faith. We should not doubt. Now, what is wisdom that we are talking about here? This wisdom actually is directly related to the trials that we go through. And it is to... it is our ability to view our trials and our testings from God's perspective. So with this kind of wisdom, we have to view our life and look from God's vantage point. And that is what we need to pray. How do we pray? We need to pray in faith, without any doubt. Because faith and doubts are just on the opposite sides of the spectrum. If we are doubting, we are not going to receive anything. But we need to pray by faith, trusting in God and believing that God is going to do something great. And this is the faith that she's talking about, is the sustaining faith that involves us when we completely abandon ourselves in the hand of God and that His purposes are done. James says that we should not be double-minded. You know, a double-minded person is someone who wants his will to be done and at the same time wants God's will also to be done at the same time. But when we are completely trusting in God, the faith in God will help us to go through those trials. Let us come to the last verse in this lesson today, which is verse number 12. It says that blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There are two things, there are two promises that we receive from this verse. We have two kinds of reward that God is promising. Number one, it says, blessed is a man. The word blessed, this is an immediate reward. It says that if you are able to endure trials and temptations in your life, the word blessed means genuinely happy. That is an immediate reward. So when we are able to endure the suffering and get the approval from God, we are happy and genuinely happy. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. This happiness or joy doesn't depend upon the circumstances, and it is depending upon the trust that we have in the promises of God, that God is the one who knows everything and He will not let us down. The second promise that we receive is that when He has been approved, it says He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. You know, the crown of life is something that God has kept for us, because the abundant life that God promised, that the everlasting life, we will receive the crown of life. It's a future reward that we receive in heaven, and it's a crown that we will receive. It's something that God has kept for those who go through these trials and testings, and then those who get approved, they will receive it. There are different crowns that we see in this world. At least four of them I can mention. One is the crown of flowers that is worn in the time of joy. Number two is the crown, the royal crown, which is a mark of royalty worn by kings and those in authority. The third is the crown of laurel, or a victor's crown of an athlete who wears that once he has passed and become a victor in a competition there. And fourth is the crown that is a mark of honor and dignity. Now, the crown that James is talking about is the mark of honor. We will receive the crown of life. So, let us understand that our trials, they are inevitable and they have a purpose behind it. When we go to so many saints in the Old Testament, a good example is Joseph, who went through so many trials, but God had a purpose that through that he would one day become the prime minister of Egypt and would be able to save many, keep many people alive. So God has a purpose when He allows us to go through trials, and end of the day we are going to receive the crown that God has kept for us, and this is the crown that we are all hoping to receive when we reach the finish line. And Christ says, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in what you have been entrusted with. This is the crown that God is going to give us, and this is the crown that we need to wait for God to do something great. So as I'm concluding the second lesson here, let us have an attitude of thankfulness have an attitude of joy and understand why we are facing troubles in our life. Let us be prudent enough to thank God for the problems that come in our life and tell Him that that you are unable to understand that when we go through these problems, it is to help us mature, and ask God for the wisdom to face the problem and turn the problem into a blessing, and so that one day we will receive the crown of life. Jesus went through so many trials. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. God was pleased to allow his Son to go through the suffering, but because of that, we are all so richly blessed. And Jesus also received the highest honor ever that anybody can ever receive. So as we go through trials in our life and troubles, let us remember what James has told us. Let us count it all joy. Let us know that there is an end result that God is producing in our life. Let us ask God for wisdom, that He will allow us to understand when problems come and the reason why it's coming. Let us ask God for that wisdom, and let us endure the trials, that one day we shall receive the crown of life that God has promised us. I pray and I hope that God has blessed you today and with this lesson, and I hope that you are able to stay strong when troubles come in your life. May God bless you. Thank you.